some criminals who had broken into, one night they had broken into a department store. And what made the story remarkable was not the breaking and entering so much as what they spent several hours doing throughout the night. You see, these criminals didn't steal a single thing. They broke in, they entered, they spent several hours not stealing, but they spent several hours exchanging price tags. They took a price tag off of one item and would put it on another item. They rearranged these price tags. I suppose before barcodes were a thing, this would have been. So they swapped price tags, and what was even more amazing was that the next morning when the workers arrived and the manager showed up and they opened the doors of the department store, not knowing that someone had been there throughout the night exchanging price tags, and for hours they sold merchandise with the wrong prices. A camera sold for the price of a pack of pencils, and a fishing boat sold for the price of the camera. You can imagine the chaos that would ensue from that kind of a mess, but it was remarkable that no one noticed for several hours that the price tags had been changed. And so some people, I suppose, got a great deal, maybe other people not so much. But I want to say to you that we are very much right now in that exact scenario in our society, in our world. Someone has slipped in and has rearranged the price tags. We live in a world who values things that are really not so valuable, and we seem to discard things that are very precious. In 2 Timothy, and I've been bringing you this scripture over and over lately, but we are there, where Paul told us that in the last days perilous times shall come. He said men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Three things stand out to me tonight in that scripture. In verse number 3, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Think of that. Without natural affection. I'm sure that God, if he weeps when he sees babies still yet in the womb being aborted by their mothers. That's not a natural affection. Child abuse, so rampant today. Parents who don't care for their children or neglect their children or beat their children or, oh God forbid, would sexually abuse their children. But it happens more and more every day. It's without natural affection. Things that we should value, things that we should hold dear, seem to be things that we just discard. And then also, those words, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. Think of that. Things, people who we should esteem, people who we should recognize, people who we should celebrate and support. I never thought I would see a day where police officers would be abused. I never thought I would see that day where they would have to defend themselves in the public eye. But here we are. We've seen it in the past year. Despisers of those that are good. The people who seem to want to do right in the public arena, politicians and office holders, those that want to do right, they are ridiculed, they're beaten down, they're lied on, conspired against. You can't stand for good these days without raising a riot, it seems like. Despisers of those that are good. And then, of course, the church, those who are speaking good, and those that are speaking life, and those that are speaking the word of God, and trying our best to live good lives. We're maligned. We're ridiculed. We're persecuted. We are very much in those days. Things that should be valued are not valued. Somebody's exchanged the price tags on us. And then the last little phrase there that I have underlined, lovers of pleasures. In verse number 4, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, that says it all right there, doesn't it? The one who we should love most, we don't love. We love pleasures more. We should put God first, but we put our pleasures more. Put our pleasures above God. Our comfort, our desires, our agendas. What brings me joy? What brings me fulfillment? Never have we lived in such a me age. I, me, mine, myself, ours, us. Those are all words that are used way too often. And I pray that it doesn't permeate the church, but I fear that it does. And if we're not careful, even in the church, we can become lovers of pleasures. Even the church, we can be addicted to anything. You can be addicted to alcohol. You can be addicted to drugs. But some people get addicted to church. And I don't mean there's anything wrong with wanting to go to church. But we don't come to church just for the sake of feeling good about going to church. We come to church to worship God. So it can't just be about the church. We need to worship God. We need to be lovers of God more than lovers of pleasures. What makes me feel good? No, it's about God, His glory. Somebody's changed the price tags. And we really do have a values crisis, I believe. Jesus tells us in Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Think about this parable that the Lord gives us here. Matthew 13:44. Think of this parable. He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, it's like a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found. So here's a man working in a field. He doesn't own the field. He's a worker. He's a laborer in the field. Whatever, he's hired. But while he's working in the field, he finds this treasure that's hid in this field. Nobody else knows about the treasure, but he's out there working, and this hired servant discovers the treasure. So he hides the treasure. And for joy thereof, he goes and he sells everything that he has and he buys that field. Why? Because he understood the value of that treasure. And when you understand the value of a treasure, you will do whatever you must do. You will sell whatever you have to sell. You will sacrifice whatever you must sacrifice to pursue that treasure. So, what do you value? What do we value? We will go after whatever we value. We will spend our money. We will spend our time. We will spend our energy pursuing those things that we value. So, what do you value? The most precious thing you will ever gain, let me just tell you, is a relationship with Jesus. That's the most valuable thing you will ever gain, is a relationship with Jesus. To be part of His kingdom, to be born again, is the most noble venture we will ever set out upon. It is the most precious thing that we will ever set our attention upon, is to pursue a relationship with Him. And everything else must come second. Jesus says to seek first His kingdom, and all the things that you need would be added unto you. So what do you value? What do you value? What do you value? If you really want to know, take a look at your bank statement, and that will tell you what you value. Take a look at where you spend your money. That will tell you what you value. Take a look at your calendar. Take a look at your appointments. Take a look at your engagements. Take a look at your daily travels. That will tell you what you value. Money and time. That'll tell you what you value. I don't know about you, but my phone, I don't have my locations turned off on my phone. And so my phone knows where I go throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month. It's got a location tracker. And so I'll get in my car every once in a while in the morning, and I'll just have a little thing pop up on my phone, or now on my truck, it'll say, you're 4 minutes from Indiana Fitness Club. Because I go to the Indiana Fitness Club enough times that at that time of day, that time of the week, whatever, my phone looks back and says, you've been there so many times, we're going to assume that's where you're going. And just let you know, you're 4 minutes from there. Traffic is light. If you want directions, which you shouldn't need because you go there so much, but if you want to hit the button, but it just lets me know. My location tracker has been tracking where I've been. 4 minutes from the gym, 30 minutes from your favorite restaurant you go to all the time, 30 minutes from the golf course, 20 minutes from McCormick's Creek State Park. My favorite one is when I get in my truck and it pops up 3 minutes from 210 West Vine Street in Ellisville, Indiana. 3 minutes from my house. 3 minutes it'll tell me from Turning Point Apostolic Church. I'm thankful that I go to church enough that it's on my location tracker and my phone knows that I'm getting ready to go to the house of the Lord. All that other stuff is meaningless, but the house of the Lord. So I would ask you, what do you value? Your location tracker might give you away. We've got some people, I'm afraid if you looked at their location tracker on their phone, they go to Walmart more than they go to church. They go to the restaurants more than they go to church. They're going to the gym more than they go to the church. They're going to all these other things. You know, I'm surprised how many people, even I'm listening, I know you got to be wise. It's your decision whether you come to the house of the Lord or not right now. I get that. But I've said it before, if you are being safe, then be safe. If you're trying to stay away from COVID, then by all means, be careful, be safe. Some of y'all got health conditions and you need to do that. But if we looked at your location tracker and you've been hitting Walmart, trust me, the virus is at Walmart. Yes, it is. You've been going out to eat. COVID's out at the restaurants. Yes, it is. Been going to the gym, been going to everybody's, but I just don't feel safe going to church. What in the world are you talking about? The safest place you can be is in the house of the Lord. Some of you, you need to get back to the house of the Lord. What do you value? Your location tracker might give you away. Do you ever get in your car and say, hey, you're only 10 minutes from 210 West Vine Street, 20 minutes from 210 West Vine Street. Has it been so long that your phone forgets that where you go to church? Oh man, I'm preaching to somebody. What do you value? What do you value? What you value will drive you. It will compel you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. No, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you value? Jesus says you need to lay up treasures in the right place. He didn't say you don't need to lay up treasures. He said you need to lay them up in the right place. So what do you value? If you value heavenly things, you'll lay up treasures in heaven. If you value earthly things, you'll lay up treasures, or you'll do your best to lay up treasures here on earth, but it's going to rust and it's going to be moth-eaten and the thieves are going to steal it. It's going to dissipate. It's going to fall down around you and dilapidate. It'll be worth nothing someday, but all of those things, oh hallelujah, that we lay up in heaven will always be there, never to be taken away from us. You ever wonder how Esau could sell his birthright to his brother Jacob for just a bowl of soup? A birthright? Really? If you don't know what a birthright is, I'll let you study that out on your own. But it is a precious thing. It is a precious, valuable thing. And there he sits one day. He comes in from hunting all day long. He's famished. His brother Jacob's been cooking some pottage, some stew. And Esau begs of his brother, give me some stew, lest I die. And Jacob sees the perfect opportunity to capitalize on his brother's hunger. And he says, I'll give you some soup, but you give me the birthright. And almost without hesitation, Esau says, well, what good is my birthright if I die? I want this temporary fix. My belly's empty. My belly's growling. I want some food. I want something that I can taste right now. The birthright's off in my future. I can't taste it right now. I can't put my hands on it right now. But the soup I can take right now. And so he trades for a momentary pleasure. He trades a lifetime blessing. How? Why? How did it come to that? How did it come to that? He valued his temporary comfort over the long-term treasure that Jesus described in the field, where that man found the treasure in the field and he said, it'll be worth everything. I'll go sell everything. I'll sacrifice everything. Esau missed that. Esau missed that. And the price tag, somebody slipped in on him and changed the price tags while he wasn't looking. And what he should have valued, he did not value. And what you do not value, you will not retain. What you do not value, you will not fight for it. You will not stand for it. What you do not value, you will not hold on to it. What you do not value, you will sell it. You will give it away. You will trade it. So what do you value? There's nothing worth your soul. There is nothing worth your calling. Sir, listen to me. Ma'am, listen to me. There is nothing worth your relationship with Jesus. Nothing, nothing, nothing. No money. There's not enough money. There's not enough money for you to go out and gain. Well, I can't just serve God right now. I'm trying to get my career. Oh, hear me well. You'll squander the best years of your life chasing that almighty dollar, and then you'll come to find out what I should have been pursuing is Jesus. See, I've seen people do this. I've lived long enough. I've seen this unfold. I've seen young people go after what they want in the world, get married, start having kids. In their minds, they know they're going to come back to the Lord someday, but they raise their kids outside of the church. And so their children grow up not valuing the important things of God. And someday maybe the parents come to the Lord, maybe they don't. It's a gamble. But the sad thing is they've never taught their children what is important. They didn't train them up in the way they should go. Listen, there's no money, no money, no dollar, no amount worth your sacrificing your walk with God. No money, no clothes, no outfits. We've got people today that are so worried about their clothes and having brand names. They wear everybody's name but their own. It's not worth it. No popularity is worth it. You want to be popular. You want to be accepted. There's no girlfriend worth it. There's no boyfriend worth it. Listen to me. Nothing is worth selling your birthright. Nothing is worth it. It's all just a pot of stew. The devil's trying to tell you. You can have this momentary pleasure and you can still have the lifetime blessing. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So there's nothing worth your soul. Proverbs 23:23 tells it very clearly. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy it. Invest in it. Just like that man in the parable from Jesus. When he discovered that treasure in the field, he said, I'm going to do all that I have to do. I'm going to buy that thing. And then you have to sell it not. You will not sell what you value. The world may not understand it. They won't. The devil will try to devalue it, but he cannot. If it's valuable, you'll retain it. So what do you value tonight? Whatever you value, you're going to hang on to it. You're going to wrap your arms around it. You're going to clutch it to your very bosom and never let go. Lord, I thank you for your word. I ask you to anoint and bless your people. Keep us close to you and help us to keep you close to us. And God, never to sell what we have, to hang on to it forever. And we give you the praise and the glory. Let this word permeate the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. We give you the praise. Would you raise your hands out there at your homes? Just give God praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we do love you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. Remember this weekend, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, and Sunday afternoon at 1:30 is our next services. We invite you to come and be with us. Brother Worthen and Brother Gunderman will be preaching Sunday. Our associate pastors pray for my wife and I as we travel. We're going to take a little trip to celebrate our anniversary, and so we will not be with you Sunday, but we will be with you the following Sunday. So God bless you. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We love you, Turning Point. We love you, all of those that are watching tonight. We say God bless you. We'll see you next time.